O'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Brian Gutekunst spoke earlier. Matt LaFleur is speaking or has just finished up down in the media auditorium. And something from Brian Gutekunst via Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. Goody calling the injury to Marshawn Lloyd, the third-round pick a year ago who had the worst injury luck I have ever seen a player have in a single season in all my time covering this team. And when he was finally healthy from all of his football injuries, he needed an emergency appendectomy and didn't get back on the field because of that. Now, Goody saying that the Marshawn Lloyd injury to his leg was a non-contact injury and that it did not appear to have been caused by the hit by Hopps. If that was just the unfortunate circumstance, interesting, right? I still think that when the coach kicks a guy out of practice for a while, he still did something wrong, even if they don't think that that was the cause. But, Joe, do you ever have a guy that, I mean, this poor kid, if this is, because whenever I see non-contact, by the way, I think the worst, right? Like, when you see that phrase, if this is as severe as maybe it could be, did you ever have a teammate that you're like, God, this guy is so good, but he just can't catch a break? All he catches is bad breaks. He's never healthy. Did you ever have anyone that you played with during your decade plus that went through that kind of thing?
Oh, I'm sure I did, and I'm trying to think back now quickly, like who would have been a good example, because I think it was a lot of times you had receivers or defensive backs that would come in and it was like, man, hamstring injury, then their quad, and then they hurt their ankle. And it's like they can just never get healthy, especially during training camp. Mm-hmm. It's such an important time of the season to be getting in shape, to physically and mentally get yourself ready, build those calluses for the length of the season. And then if you're not there, like you're just never able to get up to speed. And then once the season starts, it's a lot of times too late. But a guy I never actually played with because he was injured the year I came into the NFL. And then he tried to come back in year two for me and he just wasn't able to do it was LeCharles Bentley. He, I think he tore his patella tendon the year before I was a rookie in Cleveland, and he was a big free agent signing. He was the top center paid in the NFL at the time, a big Pro Bowler, Cleveland guy too, so it was kind of a homecoming. So it was really sad. And the very first day, I think like one of the very first plays of training camp, he blows his patella tendon and then gets a staph infection. He's in the hospital for months and months. They think that may have to amputate his leg. I mean, it was a real awful deal, and he actually never got back to playing in the NFL. It was such a bad staph infection, a little bit kind of like what Alex Smith had with his leg when he broke his leg. So I feel like every NFL team is littered with those type of stories because talent is oftentimes not the thing that holds you back from having right. a great NFL career.
Jesse, my question for you, and look, I wasn't down there. I was with you two and Evan when Goody was saying this. But I this is the life of a reporter. I'm always skeptical of stuff. Right? Like that's part of the job, right? You can't just take whatever a coach or a GM or a player necessarily says, because there are times where you're not being told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I want to be very careful in my choice of words here because I was not there. But the circumstances under which Marshawn Lloyd got hurt and Nate Hobbs being an important piece that they signed in free agency, I'm not 100% sure that I would believe with 100% certainty that one had nothing to do with the other. Am I being unreasonable by thinking that way?
No, I think that's the way you have to as a reporter, especially as we know injuries in the NFL, there's a lot of flexibility in what the truth really is, as we all have seen throughout the years. The Belichicks, they did a great job of concealing or shrouding injuries by just saying, he's got a leg or a lower body injury. You're like, okay, well, is it his toe? Is it his ankle, knee, hip? What are we talking about here? And I think one of the things you could do is, like, the player has been beaten down and the coach took it out on him, put him in timeout. Everybody saw the example they made of him, right? Nate Hobbs probably feeling pretty sorry for himself right now. How do you bring him back into the fold and let him feel like, hey, we still got your back, you're still our guy, Well, it's by going out in the media and kind of protecting them a little bit. No, that wasn't the hit that injured the player. It was something else. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to discuss it. But, you know, we don't have to pile on our player right now. And the player knows the truth. And he sees now that his team is going out and defending him publicly. Now he's like, okay, I know what I did was wrong. I know they had to take the action that they took, putting me in timeout, taking me out of practice, let me cool down. But they're my people. They understand me. They know how to get me motivated and how to bring the best out of myself. And I'm really ready to fight for these people because they're showing it with trying to defend me a little bit from the people that might have some pitchforks about what happened in practice yesterday.
If I may for a moment, there was a Please time do. There was a time in college when after a big night partying and whatnot, I slept and rolled over on my phone, which I never brought to like the bed with me, and I cracked the screen. And then I was talking to someone the next day. They said, well, did you break your phone when you were drinking? I said, no. I broke it when I was sleeping.
Like, I just happened to be sleeping at the bar. I mean, that's a common thing to do these days.
That's kind of what I'm starting to feel like we're seeing here with it. Like, did Nate Hobbs directly cause, like, did Marshawn Lloyd get hurt the second that Nate Hobbs? Maybe, maybe not. But is it fair to assume that yesterday the big story that everyone was talking about after practice was Nate Hobbs going too hard and he hit Marshawn Lloyd and he had to be helped off the field, and then all of a sudden the next day the general manager or the head coach are saying Marshawn Lloyd's dealing with a fairly serious injury that has nothing to do with that yesterday? It's totally separate. What else could there have been that happened separate from that? Was he just running drills on the side afterward and did something bad to his leg? Like, that seems somewhat far-fetched to assume that. And like Joe's saying, it's probably just to protect Hobbs and to keep the dynamic in the locker room calm 1 week into practice would be my guess. Because the other thing you would have to, you know, try and measure, what's the intent of saying that it wasn't related to that? That's the only thing I could think of, right?
So again, I wasn't in the room. I don't know. I would just say this. It is conceivable, right? Plausible deniability, if you will, that he planted before he got hit and something happened in his knee or whatever it is, and then he got hit on top of it. I can't say that that's impossible. So I'm not, and again, I'm not in the room, and I'm certainly not a doctor. Tausch loves to tell everyone that I'm not a doctor at every turn because of my amateur diagnosis of Christian Watson. All I know is this: if this kid tore his ACL or tore a patellar tendon or whatever it might have been yesterday, whether it was directly or indirectly or completely unrelated to the Nate Hobbs hit, that really sucks for him because he has had some really awful luck. So we're gonna have to wait and see. Matt LaFleur did address it. And what Matt LaFleur said is what you'd expect Matt LaFleur to say. Unfortunately, he's had to fight through a lot of adversity, called the injury unfortunate. I think you can tell from tone usually if it's something pretty significant, and it sounds to me like it might be something significant. So we will find out more throughout the course of the day here, and we'll head down to practice in a little while. I want to remind you, and I'm not saying that Marshawn Lloyd should be litigious about this at all, but if he needs to make a call, there's only one call to make. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. David and his team, they don't specialize in football practice injuries. They do specialize in serious injuries, though, and they will take care of you like they took care of us when we had questions. All it takes is one call, that's all. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. More with Joe Thomas next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. You can see me turning. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. You can see me turning. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You gotta make me change my mind.
Tigers getting ready to kick off practice right now down at Ray Nitschke Field. Jesse, I know our buddy Strolf was working hard to clip some audio. Matt LaFleur finished up at the podium a little while ago. What got your attention from the head coach now, that he said this morning?
Very detailed update here from Matt LaFleur on Marshawn Lloyd.
He was doing great. It's just, you know, you'd like to have him out there. He's a guy that needs that experience and unfortunately has had to fight through a lot of adversity.
Yeah, that tone, Joe, I'm not an expert on tone. I know when Paul is mad at me, I certainly know that tone, and I'm guessing you know that one from Annie as well.
Wow. What makes you think that?
No, it's just intuition.
There you go. You know, you're a smart man.
I am sometimes, but that didn't sound encouraging to me.
No, in training camp, they don't have to give injury updates. It's not like during the season when you've got a game because of the gambling interest, they have to be somewhat forthcoming about injuries that they have. But in training camp, you just get the dour tone when something like that has happened. And tough to say for sure because they haven't disclosed any information really other than it's potentially serious and that he's not out there. And when the coach is sounding like that, it could be that he's just, you know, got the doldrums of training camp when you only get a couple hours of sleep every night. But more than likely, I think he's feeling a little sorry and sad about the injury and how it happened, the friendly fire incident that they had that now everybody's going to be talking about.
No doubt. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play trivia, and then I'm going to head down to practice, and Jesse and Joe are going to hold it down for a little while. Jesse and our team spent some time yesterday with Melvin Gordon, so they're going to talk a little bit about what Melvin had to say, but we need to play trivia first, presented by Vortex Golf. Jesse, today's Tuesday. We have a Badgers legend on the show. What do you got for trivia today?
I think you put it together. It's Badgers Trivia Tuesday for Wildy and Tausch Trivia today. Oh, he comes with his own sound effect.
That's my favorite. Oh, I love that. That's going to be my alarm in the morning from now on. It's just amazing.
It's also going to be a hot button for a hot key for us. Every time something exciting happens, it'll be the sound of Joe Thomas going.
What was that old game, Asteroids or whatever you used to play?
Yeah, on like, Galaga,
Base Invaders.
It was like the next generation after Pong.
All right, well, maybe you'll get all three questions right, and you'll get to hear the signature Joe Thomas sound effect at the end of it. Caller 10 right now for Badgers Trivia Tuesday, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 10 right now for Wildy and Tausch Trivia. We'll play next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Joe Thomas is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. I'm going to head down to practice momentarily. But first, time for trivia presented by Vortex Golf.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
It is time for trivia. It is Badgers Trivia Tuesday. I'm going to stick around to ask a question, but here's what we're going to do. Jesse's going to ask question one. I'm going to ask question two, and then we're going to finish with the GOAT. Unless question two is specific to Joel.
Oh, maybe you should take a look at it.
Oh, yeah. My wife, yeah. Okay.
Somewhat specific,
I
guess.
A little weird.
I guess we won't build to the most accomplished of the three people on the panel. Instead, we'll have the most accomplished go second, and I'll go last.
Great idea.
Let's welcome in our contestants. It is JJ in Dodgeville. JJ, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. honor to be on with you, and love Joe Thomas.
I appreciate you saying that.
My guy, Dodgeville, pretty close to Basketball. We may have run into each other at the feed store at some point.
You talking about that Wagyu beef? I smoke meat. And,
oh, baby, we need to talk. We need to talk later. It's a different level, different experience. I tell people, you've had steak and then you've had Wagyu. They're different animals.
Yep. Well, no, Wagyu is the elite.
Elite.
Well, we will get you two carnivores together a little bit later. First, we need to play trivia. As Jesse wrote them, Jesse, you've got question number one.
My pleasure, Jason. Kicking off today, the Wisconsin Badgers football team is holding what has become a traditional fall camp on the campus of which WIAC school? Is that on the campus of UW-Platteville, UW-Stout, or Heartland Arrowhead High School?
I'm 25 minutes away from UW-Platteville.
All right, this is not the question for me. This is the question for Joe. Joe has question number two.
Which sport did my wife, Annie, play at the University of Wisconsin from 2002 to 2006?
You should give them the options.
Basketball, volleyball, or hockey? Yeah. I was pausing volleyball. For dramatic effect. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that clearly. It was...
Say it again, JJ.
What? Don't say the one you just said.
I'll go with basketball.
Yeah! Boo, boo, boo,
boo. Oh, boy.
Teamwork makes the dream work. He's a Hall of Famer. He can do whatever he wants. All right, JJ.
Meat lovers are stick together.
Yes, meat lovers unite. All right, smart question.
We do have question. Controversial asterisk now prone perfect week going. Just yeah, so
hey,
we know.
Hey, hey.
Nope. No
well,
asterisk.
JJ, you kind of deserve that, in fairness.
It's a
right,
common
question
mistake.
Three. Let's see what happens in question three. Which opponent, JJ, was the last team Wisconsin defeated in a regular season college football game? Last opponent the Badgers beat in football in a regular season game. Was that last win against Northwestern, Rutgers, or Purdue?
Purdue.
Well, the good news is that with a little bit of help, you still got two out of three right, which means... Which means you've got three of the possible four entries, whether you deserve that extra entry or not, into Friday's drawing, or maybe we'll do it Thursday since Jim, Matt, and Molly are filling in for us on Friday. But either way, JJ, we appreciate you playing. Thanks for your loyalty to the show, buddy. Thanks.
Yep, no problem, and thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Be a little more gotta help a brother about out. It, JJ. I mean,
no,
a little more discreet, Joey. Yeah. All right. So that's trivia. I'm going to head down to practice. I'm going to leave this in the capable hands of Joe Thomas and Jesse Nelson, and I'm also going to leave you with the voice of Mark Tauscher from Beyond Vacation, telling us about his love of Coors Light. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans turn blue when chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold at only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're on the Packers.
The last four or five games are going to be very difficult.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
But I still think they can get 11 wins out of this schedule.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
back with you, but it is Jesse and Joe,
I guess, for the time being. Jason Wilde getting situated down on the sidelines of Packers training camp practice, where he'll share some insights and observations coming up in just a little bit. The Packers back out on the practice field at Reinitschke Field up in Titletown coming up here in just a little bit. Jason will rejoin us to host the show from Green Bay in the 11 o'clock hour coming up. So, in the meantime, yesterday, Brad Nortman and I had a great conversation in this block of time as Jason went down to go get situated, and I figured let's do it again with another Brookfield Central alum. So, we had a really fun time yesterday afternoon. I had the opportunity to fill in hosting Jim, Matt, and Molly in the afternoons here on ESPN Madison from 4 to 6. Molly Brown and I were up at Trapper's Turn Golf Course in the Wisconsin Dells for the NFL alumni golf outing. Melvin Gordon was in attendance, former Badger. And we asked Melvin, you know, he had a fun round. He was involved in this playoff that he was unsuccessful in winning, so he was a little still coming off the high, I think, of the highest competition competing for a potential title in that NFL alumni outing. He did not win, so he's a little bum, but he hopped on with Molly and I regardless, and we had a great conversation talking about Wisconsin football. And morale is down. I think that's pretty clear, Joe, across the board. Morale is down as we head into the 2025 season, and fairly, coming off a first season in forever not reaching a bowl game. Back to back, you feel like the program isn't getting better so far after two seasons with Luke Fickell as the head coach. I think fairly, fans and others have critiqued the program, and morale is low. So I asked Melvin Gordon at the conclusion of our time yesterday, what message do you have to fans to help them, you know, feel better about this coming season, knowing that morale is a bit down? This is about a minute and 20 seconds, and I want you to hear what Melvin Gordon had to say with us yesterday, and then I want to hear what Joe Thomas, arguably the greatest Wisconsin Badgers football player of all time. I'm saying it. Here's what Melvin Gordon had to say yesterday.
Just have faith. You not having any faith is not doing anything for our football team. That's not helping us win games. Come in early. Be rooting early. Be loud. You know, find ways to help give us that advantage when people come into Kent Randall. You know, the fans make the difference. They do. And I think they've always known that. And things have been rocky. They have. And I can understand, you know, their loss of faith. But, you know, as a Badger, you have to continue to keep that. You know, we brought in Fickell. So, therefore, you know, we have to believe that he'll get the job done. And my thoughts is that he will, and his staff will. No coach wants to lose. It's not like Phil goes in there and be like, oh, I'm losing, I want to lose. He wants to beat every team, right? That just is what it is. So we have to have that faith in him. And if you guys don't have that faith, we will. And, you know, I hope that you would have that too. Walk in there, like I said, be the 12th man. You know, be that extra player that we need to win those games. Just have faith, have patience. You know, you got to understand the NIL, it's a new beast that everybody is handling. You know, Barry Alvarez, nobody else had to deal with this. Guys coming, leaving. Nobody had to deal with this at Wisconsin before. You know, so we have to take that into factor too. And just like I said, have the utmost faith. And, you know, I'm a root for the Badgers, win or lose. But I'm telling you, I'm going to be pissed if we lose to Minnesota. So remember that.
He was very clear that he wanted to beat Minnesota more than anybody yesterday when Melvin joined us yesterday. Melvin Gordon, again, on Jim, Matt, and Molly yesterday. You can find the full interview available on the podcast on the ESPN Wisconsin app, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. So a lot to take away there, Joe. What stood out to you? How you feeling?
When I listened to Melvin, what I think he was trying to give fans is a perspective into the mindset of an athlete, of one of the players on the team. And it's something that I went through every offseason during my career, going all the way back to high school. You've got to build this belief within yourself that you can do it, right? Because that's what brings the most out of who you are as a player, as a leader, as a teammate. It gets you to grind when it doesn't feel like it's a day that you want to grind, when your body's not feeling great, you're sore, it's hot, you're sweaty. You got to find that belief, because the only way you're able to dig down and do the hard things that nobody else wants to do in football practice, in training camp, during the season, is to have that belief that you're working for something bigger than just going out and playing a good game for yourself. And even at the end of my career, you know, we went 1-31 the last 2 years. Not a lot of wins, not a lot of talent going in, but you did have to kind of fool yourself a little bit going in to say, yeah, we can do this thing, right? Because you need to have that positivity. You need to bring that energy every single day. Whereas typically fans, they're a bit more pessimistic in general, right? They like to kind of talk about the team when we lose and those guys and put people over there. And, you know, it feels good to write, like, to gripe to your buddies at the bar when you're at the family reunion. And that's what people talk about, right? It's such a big part of their life. And I think that's normal, right? That's one of the blessings of being a fan now that I'm sitting on this side of the game rather than having to be in those meetings, is I can be a little bit more honest. I can complain a little bit more, right? And dream of the glory days gone by with the Barry Alvarez years. But I think it is important for him, with some of the things that he said there, for people to recognize that the stage in college football is completely different. I mean, Nick Saban, the greatest college coach of all time, he walked away because it's so much more difficult now to do your job as a head coach and have that consistent level of success that a lot of programs have had with the transfer portal, with the NIL, and specifically from Wisconsin's standpoint, dealing with a really, really tough schedule now. I mean, when I was playing, you played a couple teams in the top five maybe every year, every other year, possibly usually Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. Those are the teams that usually were up there. But then the rest of your schedule was fairly easy. I'm going to be totally honest, right? My last year in Wisconsin, we went 12-1. We lost to Michigan. But then we beat some good teams, but it's not like we were having to play like last year. Number one, Oregon. Number four, Alabama. Number three, Penn State. Number 13, USC. You know, and so you had to deal with a much easier schedule. But now the schedule is so much more difficult with the added teams in the Big Ten, with making games more competitive in the non-conference schedule, booking teams like Alabama, LSU, some of the great programs in college football. And, oh, by the way, the Minnesotas are better. The Nebraska, Rutgers, Northwestern, Purdue's, like, those teams are all better now because they're able to spend a little bit money on players. They're able to get at least a few good players to kind of build their program around with that college free agency and the transfer portal, that even the layups aren't layups anymore. And so fans have not yet readjusted what their equilibrium is and what that perspective is on what a good season looks like. In the NFL, if you're 500 or above, at least this is Cleveland's perspective, and I know Packer fans are a little bit they're a little bit more blessed. They've had a little
standards
bit.
A little
the standards
different,
are yeah. a little higher, but yet, like, if you go 10-7 now in Green Bay, they're going to go, that's a good year because you're in the playoffs and that's all you want to do. And that's really what coaches in college football now are targeting. Like, let's get into the college football playoffs. And if we played a hard schedule, we've hardened our roster and our players, we've come together as a team, anybody can go win a national championship. But yet for fans, in our mind here at Wisconsin, we're still thinking 10 wins. That's what the standard is. And I'm not saying we should readjust our perspective and our expectations for how many wins we should have in the season. But I think it's important to at least be a little bit mindful as we're helping to build ourselves into the season, believing in this team, believing in Coach Fickell, believing in the new direction that they're headed, which is a little bit more old school approach, back to the Wisconsin style of more smash mouth, run the football, play with a couple tight ends and a fullback on offense. And so I think Melvin hit on all those parts and then kind of was saying, hey, we need to believe just like the players believe because they need us out there as fans. They need us cheering. They don't want to be moving around town hearing about, oh, the team stinks. We can't wait to get rid of these guys and these coaches. Like, because that affects young players way more than it does NFL players. And you can understand that if you're 18, 19, 20, and that's what you're hearing, that's the message, the pessimism going into the season. It can be good, right? Because it makes you circle the wagons and give you the us against the world, which was what Belichick was always doing, right? Trying to look for those insults in the media and making it bulletin board material and say, nobody believes in us, which is good. But it can also have the opposite effect, especially on younger players, where it's like, well, maybe we aren't very good. You know, I think I'm seeing good stuff in practice. I'm believing what coaches are saying, but I'm constantly hearing this noise on the outside. So it's difficult for a former player like Melvin to really impact the fan base and their perspective a lot. But I think he's doing a great job saying, hey, guys, we need everybody here as fans to believe in what we're doing. We need to believe in this new direction. Show up, cheer those guys on, because that's the kickstart that they need to the season, which faces an incredibly difficult schedule.
One more for you, because I think this means a lot coming from you as we get ready for the Badger season. 1 month from yesterday, they kick it off against Miami, Ohio on a Thursday night at Camp Randall Stadium. Yesterday, I asked Brad Nortman, I gave him a multiple choice question. I said, which season do you think this could most represent from Badgers years past? And one was one of the options was 1992, the third year for Barry Alvarez. The team went 5-6, beat Ohio State as a ranked team, didn't make a bowl game, but that felt like, you know, they had a signature victory and it helped propel what ended up being the Rose Bowl team in 93 and so on. Brett Bielema, in his third year, went 7-6. The team still made a bowl game, but again, you were kind of seeing the transition then from Barry to Brett, and then he ended up writing the course, and the rest is history. Paul Christ, in his second year, the team, you know, was coming off an okay year the previous season, had a lot of tough games on their schedule, including number 5 LSU at Lambeau Field out of the gates. They won that game. They ended up winning a bunch of those games, went 3-2 against top 10 teams, finished 9-3, made the Cotton Bowl, beat Western Michigan and PJ Fleck. Is it fair to ask which of these three seasons this season could most represent? Or do you view this, as Melvin was kind of alluding to at the end of that commentary, that this is totally uncharted territory? No Wisconsin team has ever faced this schedule. No Wisconsin team has dealt with NIL and transfer portal the way that Coach Fickell has in the last 3 years as the rules have changed. How do you view that, Joe Thomas?
Yeah, every season's different, but I'll give you another one. And I see it a little bit like my senior year, 2003. It was 2006. 2003, I was a freshman. Okay, great. I got it all figured out now. 2006, it was Brett's first season. And we were coming off of a 10-3 season with Barry Alvarez, but the expectations were a lot higher. We started, I think, 9-0, and we were one of the top teams in the country. Everybody was smelling themselves. Everybody on the team that, you know, was possibly a draft pick was thinking about, oh, man, we're going to finish this year. I'm going to go get paid millions of bucks in the NFL. And I think there was some focus that was lost at the end of the season. But then the next year, Brett comes in. We didn't really have a lot of household names. You know, John Stocko's our quarterback. I think PJ Hill was our running back. And, you know, not a lot of heralded guys going into the season. We didn't have a ton of draft picks on the offensive line. But you know what we were? We were a team. And we used the bulletin board material of people not really respecting us or not even knowing who we were to come together. And we created something that was really special for me, for Badger fans. Obviously, it's not as well remembered as when you win a Rose Bowl or you win a BCS game at the end of the season, because at the time, we were in the top 5 in the BCS rankings going into bowl season, but they only were able to take 2 Big Ten teams because you were only allowed 2 teams from each conference to go to the BCS. So we were on the outside looking in because we'd lost to Michigan, and then they lost to Ohio State, who I think was undefeated that year. So we had to play in the Capital One game, but we won that game, ended up 12-1. It was a remarkable season, and it really kickstarted Brett Bielema's tenure there. And then a few years later, they had high expectations, same type of thing. Bunch of guys looking forward to the NFL, bunch of great players, and they just never came together as a team. And if you look back throughout history, going back to when Barry got here, it seems like our best teams are the teams that don't have a high ranking going into the season, don't have really high expectations, because the Badger football program has always been built on the backs of walk-ons, Wisconsin natives, guys that are hardworking, they're tough, they're resilient, they're willing to do the things that the other teams and people are not able to do, and they always come together as a team because they're unselfish. And I see this team in a very same perspective, in the very same place as we were in 2006, because you are coming off of a tough year. You are coming off of high expectations when they brought Fickell in here, right? People forget very quickly in sports, which is good and bad, but they forget that, like, he was the top name as a head coaching candidate potentially for a while there, and everybody thought maybe he was going to take over Ohio State, and, you know, Chris McIntosh goes in there, and they have this great relationship right off the bat from their time playing in the Big Ten, and we get Fickell, and everybody's all excited about what he's going to bring and how he's going to be able to recruit more top flight talent. And I think the expectations are not there anymore. And the team is feeling like, hey, we still feel like we can be somebody. We can do this. And I think that's a really good position for Wisconsin football because it fits the culture here, who we are as Wisconsin people, always pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. Nobody's given us a chance, but we've always found a way. And I think the makeup of the team feels a lot more like those teams with guys that just want to work. They just want to play together. They just want to grind, and they feel like there's a belief in their coaching staff and each other.
I hear Brad Nortman say things yesterday. I hear Melvin Gordon. Now I hear you. I can't wait for Badger football.
Can't wait. Let's go.
You know, it's going to be tough this year, but that's going to be part of the fun, is facing those challenges every week with that great schedule that they're facing, including Alabama, Ohio State. You mentioned some of the great games on the schedule for the course of the season. It starts on August 28th at Camp Randall, hosting Miami, Ohio, to kick things off under the lights. When we come back in 2 minutes, we will kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Jason Wilde rejoins the show live from Green Bay as the Packers get back to training camp practice. Insights and observations and thoughts from Joe Thomas. Don't go anywhere. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.